This is Ella Britton and Anna Schlimm, who work together on an MA called Design for Social Innovation and Sustainable Futures at London College of Communication, which is part of University of the Arts London. We're going to talk to you about a piece of work called the Autonomous Syllabus, which has been in development since October 2023. Now, the context for this came from an inquiry within our course when we're talking about environmental and social justice, how we were sort of at odds with the kind of idea that higher education costs students such a lot of money, and it's a very prohibitive experience for a lot of people in different parts of the world. And we're really interested in challenging that or questioning that within our course. So in September 2023, we created this piece called the Autonomous Syllabus. And we've been looking at a number of strategies within this idea. One is about bringing the curriculum out of the classroom and putting it online, and week by week kind of creating a live dialogue with the world around what we're learning and how. Another strategy is looking at our sort of physical location as a university within Southeast London, looking at our physical location and how can the neighbours and the people and places around us be part of our curriculum, enriching it, learning from it, connecting with it, challenging it. And then the third area is how our students can take a much more collaborative role in archiving their learning and sharing their learning with past and future student communities.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the inspiration behind the project, which was really kind of all sorts of radical and open access education. And we wanted to share a few people and projects that inspired us and have kind of made participation in learning and knowledge creation more accessible in different ways. We were really inspired by Aaron Swartz's activism and the open access movement, which made us understand that we can kind of escape the paywall and make our the learning available to people for free. This was further compounded by kind of understanding that a lot of Ivy League colleges in the university in the US, make their material available online for free completely, including recorded lectures. And one really great example is Shannon Mattern, who is an academic in the States and teaches at Parsons, who puts kind of a very simple open access curriculum together and shares it online, including readings and slides and all sorts of things. So you can really follow along if you want to. So that was a huge inspiration to us. And then we were also inspired by local initiatives like the Anti-University and the School of the Damned. Yeah, just looking at these kind of radical self-organized initiatives that share knowledge and resources. And then one of us has also done a project called the Collective Design School at the V&A, which was all about kind of looking at not having to be an expert to teach and to learn, and thinking about how we can redistribute kind of epistemological power. So yeah, we have three kind of aspects and strategies of this project that we wanted to share. So I'm just going to talk you through the first one, which was opening up our curriculum online. So on the poster, there's a link to our open access curriculum. It's structured by unit and makes all course materials, everything that we do, as part of the teaching on the course, that includes slides, workshop materials, readings, and more, accessible week by week. So in theory, anyone in the world with an internet connection can take part in the course that way. And we've actually seen on our kind of website data that people from all over the world access the information we put up, which you can see on the map that we've included on the poster.
After about sort of 3 months of launching this online site, and seeing how it was used and starting to understand its potential, we received some funding from the Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Fund at our university. And that funding was to invest in new methods and concepts of how to kind of take, not just rely on the online system as a way of disseminating and a way of making accessible our curriculum, but actually to look at how kind of situating this within our neighbourhoods, and building collaborations, with sort of people, places local to our university, how that could enrich, inform, and support the learning of all people involved, not just the ones sitting in the classroom. So we split that project into five different, what we call starting points. And each of those five had a different local collaborator. One looking at focusing particularly on the idea of care and curiosity within our curriculum. And the students asked how young people could be take a much more active role in teaching and critiquing when what care and curiosity is within higher education. And that collaboration was with a local library just down the road. The second one was looking at mapping as a method. And when we think about pluriversal knowledges and the different kind of networks and ecosystems of learning and knowledge within our community, how can mapping be a way of us better understanding that and better building bridges and connections between students and between local practitioners, local makers, local residents. And this was a collaboration with an organisation called the Remakery. The third one was exploring more than human collaborators, so working with the soil, working with the roots of our Southeast London neighbours, and looking at how these collaborations, how these different types of non-human ecosystems can help us in understanding our learning and understanding the need for unlearning in certain situations. This was a collaboration with Land in Our Names. The fourth one was working with an organization called 56A Info Shop, and this is an activist archive very close to our institution. And this was looking at nonsense as a methodology in our learning, how it can shift our students' thinking, how it can create spaces for liberation and critique and questioning when it comes to how and what we learn when in relationship to eco-social justice. And their fifth one was with an organisation called Camberwell Incredibles. And this is an arts organisation working with people with different neurodiverse identities. And this was working particularly around connection, building connection, and thinking about learning and thinking about how we listen and hold space for one another. And this project organized around how food and art could be used as a way of hosting these types of spaces and hosting spaces without necessarily the need for words and for audible language. So these five different projects were kickstarted in January 2024 with a little bit of investment, and it really helped us. It helped us see the kind of more tangible manifestations, I suppose, of what these collaborations, what this learning looks like in our neighborhoods. And also in, it really helped us understand how these collaborations can teach us and enrich our thinking, and create more sustainable networks around who teaches who and what is learning in our neighborhoods.
Yeah, and the third aspect was kind of starting to work with students to really create an archive of learning, so we don't lose all the work that students do, all the resources that they collect each year as they pass through the course. So yeah, over the past 6 months, we've worked with graduating students. They've taken a really active role in kind of nourishing and maintaining the online aspect of the syllabus, and they've catalogued a really expansive library of resources, also things that we didn't cover in class, but things that they would have found on their own terms in their own time. So we have linked out to the Living Archive section of the website on our poster, which you can explore. There are lots of resources categorized by different kinds of different kinds of resource. And yeah, we also started working with alumni to create an archive of all the past projects that have been done on the MA so that future students and also people who just access the website don't have to start from scratch when they're researching, because we do find that a lot of projects have similar, I guess, questions or going on different sorts of inquiries. And so they, the students always find it useful to see what other people have researched before them. So that's kind of the idea behind that.
And we're still in the process of understanding the impact of this work from looking at data, listening to feedback, and holding reflections within our course community. But in over the past 12 months, we've noticed from looking at data on the website that we've got people from all over the world quite extensively accessing the site quite regularly. We're seeing between kind of 10 and 30 people using the site day to day. And that over the past 12 months, there's been peaks in that use too, of around sort of 100 and 110 people using the site. So we can see it's reaching it's reaching out. We've got some informal feedback as well from staff and students across our institution who are using the site in their own BAs and their own MA programs to bring this kind of environmental and social sort of content into their own learning in quite different contexts. We've also heard from other academic staff in other universities who've found the site and are also using it as a source of inspiration as they think about their own strategies for opening up and making accessible their learning and their resources.
And then we've also collected some kind of reflections and feedback from the students about their knowledge exchange experiences during the kind of during working with the local communities, and how that affected their creative practice and also their kind of understanding of themselves as designers and researchers. So, for example, the group working with the 56A info shop, was reflecting on the process of kind of building trust and going into a space that is very established in its own culture and way of doing things, and them kind of seeing the value of bringing this kind of more creative approach of using the archival materials in a new way and bringing the archive to life in a new way. So it took a while for them to understand that, yeah, the info shop was interested in working with them, but I think they came out of it kind of feeling supported in that and confident. Then the mapping group really understood that mapping could be used as a tool for solidarity. So, looking at how they can uplift voices and uplift businesses and people in the community that aren't necessarily seen when someone just uses Google, for example, then the soil group was reflecting on kind of the extractive nature of research and really thinking about really more deeply about how they can interact with their environment in a equitable way, all the way down to the soil. And yeah, the group working with the Camberwell Incredibles reflected on a much deeper understanding of challenges that neurodivergent people face in a world that isn't designed for them, and how that could be shaped through kind of different ways of communicating, a lot of visual communication, a lot of food. So yeah, just a kind of overall a grounding experience and an experience of opening the students' eyes to the fact that not all local people and organizations experience the world in the same way that they do.
And you can see at the bottom of the poster, there's four key references that we've used to underpin the development and the thinking behind this work from Matt and Kimura, Jed Brown and Schwartz. Thank you very much for looking at our poster and listening to our audio.